to rules and regulations. Do this, don't do that. So, he's Mariyada Purushottama. He is a form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who particularly is acting according to rules and regulations, in this way setting an example for everyone. Krishna is referred to as Leela Purushottama, the Supreme Person who particularly is displaying wonderful transcendental pastimes. And Lord Chaitanya is referred to as Prema Purushottama, the Supreme Person who is particularly absorbed in love, pure love, and displaying pure love even more than any other form of himself. So Lord Ram was like that. He was very exemplary. He followed the rules and regulations. We cannot tell the whole life story here. Unless, do you have a couple of weeks available? Or a month? Without moving? We'll just stay here. So we can just touch a little here and there. But he was so much willing, and not just willing, but enthusiastic to do the right things and show people what are the right things for their benefit, that when the time came when Lord Ram, as what they call Prince Regent, means the Crown Prince basically, or in Sanskrit they would say Yuvaraja, the king-to-be, when he was about to be officially installed as such, ceremonially and publicly, as a public declaration that in due course he is going to become the king, and then he would take on some of the duties and gradually more and more of the duties of the king. So a day before his father had three wives. Some might say, oh, really? Three wives? Not as many as Mr. Zuma. But people might wonder, you know, how could it work? But on the whole, the wives in those sort of multi-wife families, they were much happier than the wives today. Anyway, without going into all of that, although it's a very interesting subject, just before, like the day before or a day and a half before he was to be officially installed, then the third or one of the other wives, not the mother of Ram, the mother of his brother Bharat, she, again, you know, it's a long story. We have many long stories. Many, many, many. So it's a long story. But she demanded of the father, Dasarath, that you don't install Ram, you install my son, Bharat. Yes. So there was an agreement actually between the two of them. She had saved his life on the battlefield quite some years before. She saved his life, and he told her, just ask what you like, tell me what you want, it's yours. And she said, well, Can't think of anything right now. Let me think about it, and later I'll ask. So he said, fine. So he had given his word, and for a Kshatriya, when they give their word, then that's it. That's it. There's none of this flexi-speak as we see nowadays. Flexi-speak. Say one thing today and another thing tomorrow. Make a New Year's resolution today and break it tomorrow. No, break it today. Yes. So, what can you say? But for the Kshatriyas, their word was their life. In fact, it is said about Lord Ram, he was so, you could say, morally righteous and dedicated to right, that it is said, for Lord Ram, he had one wife, he had one word, for in any sort of transaction or interaction, he was asked, you know, what are you going to do, something like that. Then one word, this is it. And for his enemies, one arrow. He wouldn't waste his time with two arrows. One was enough. He didn't have, you know, like the machine guns today. Just close your eyes and pull the trigger. But one arrow, if someone was his enemy. So anyway, his father then was confronted by the mother of Bharat, and she demanded that you have to do this because you promised that whatever I want, I just have to say, and that's it. It's mine. So this is it. And Dasarath, there was nothing he could do. So he had to accept. And then he called Ram. And Ram was totally unaware. He called Ram and explained, this is the situation. You have to go into exile for 14 years into the forest. And Bharat will become the king. He won't be the king. And Lord Ram, he did not reply something like, well, look, can we talk about this? Or nothing like that. Can I think about it? Or have you thought about it? Let's discuss it a bit and see if we can resolve things, negotiate something. As soon as his father said that, then Lord Ram, with a big smile and a real smile, said, yes, thank you very much. Whatever you order is just the pleasure and essence of my life. So just like that, he accepted it. That was his character, because it was the order of his father. That was his standard. That was part of his standard. If ordered by superiors, that was it. No discussion, no debate, no arguing. Just accept it. And accept it happily. So he was, his father was apologizing. And Lord Ram said, there's no need. Don't apologize. Why are you apologizing? This is wonderful. I can go to the forest. It's so beautiful. And on your order means it's just the right thing, the perfect thing for me. So don't, there's no need to apologize. I'm happy. This was the character of Lord Ram. Very amazing character. Now, so he went into the forest, and his wife Sita went. He didn't want to allow her to come because it was going to be an austere life, just living under the trees, sleeping literally on the ground, and just finding some fruits and roots and things like that to eat. So no luxuries. They were brought up in palaces. When Dhruva Maharaj left home to find God, he met Narada Muni in the forest. And Narada asked him, "What are you doing? You're 5 years old. You should go back home to your mother. And how are you going to look after yourself? What are you going to eat?" And Dhruva said, "I don't care, I'm looking for God." And Narada Muni replied, "Well, look, God is in the palace also. He's everywhere. He's also in the palace. Why don't you just go back to the palace and find God there? Because he's there." Anyway, that's another long story. But the thing is that Sita, Lord Ram did not want her to come because he knew it would be a very austere existence. But she insisted. Not just insisted, but she practically, I don't know if you'd call it threatening him, but she just put it so strongly, "I am your wife, and it is not an option for me. Do I go, or perhaps do I not go, or what shall I do? It's not really an option. I'm your wife, you're my husband. If you're going to the forest, I'm going to the forest." So, that is her appeal to Ram. That's also very, very interesting. Very beautiful, actually. Her dedication to her husband. Nowadays, if the husband, you know, like in that case, apparently, Lord Ram lost everything. Not only did he lose the kingdom, but he got pushed out into the forest to live under the trees. Talk about from riches to rags. It was very extreme. And nowadays, you know, we hear that there are wives, that if something like that happens to the husband, then they sort of rethink their strategy in life. And and just dump the husband and look for a better provider. But not Sita. Not Sita. And she told Ram, "I would rather be with you in hell than without you in the heavenly planets. There's not a choice. It's completely like that." So they went to the forest, and Lakshman, who was the next brother after Ram, Lakshman went also, although his wife did not go. Anyway, that's okay. What's his wife's name? Lakshman and... Urmila. Yeah. Urmila. You don't find many Urmila Lakshman temples. There are a few. And so off they went into the forest. And for quite a number of years they were there. 13 years basically. They were there. Then one day, a wizard, a mystical person, named Maricha. He came, he assumed the form of a deer, a small, very cute, and really extremely attractive, playful little deer, captivating little deer. The idea was to distract Lord Ram and get him, take him away from their camp so that Ravan could kidnap Sita, because Ravan, he had heard about Sita, and he was sort of, you know, he liked to collect women, not just ordinary women, but, you know, really outstanding women. Can you turn your phones off? Next phone that rings, and if this one doesn't turn off pretty quickly, will be 10 rand fine. Okay? And second offense, 50 rands. So this was the plan. Maricha, he was a wizard. So, Ravan, the anti-hero, the big demon, told Maricha, right, you've got these mystical powers, you can do something like this, and he explained the plan. And Maricha said, no, I could do it, but I don't want to do that, I'm not going to do that. Because Ram, he'll figure it out, he'll kill me. And Ravan said, well look, if you don't do it, I'll kill you. So just decide, who do you want to be killed by? And Maricha thought about it, and he said, you know, you got a point. I think I'll be killed by Ravan. And he was. He was. So he came in that form. You know, these mystical yogis, mystical people, they are a little bit, I think, like Tikalosh. You heard of Tikalosh? Yeah, Tikalosh can become devotees also. So, we can start preaching to the Tikalosh. So anyway, there was Maricha in the form of a deer. Baby deer, very sweet, just outstanding. And Sita saw the deer, and she was so much attracted. And she told Ram, you must catch this deer, I want this deer as a pet. And Ram said, well, look, I don't know if it's a good idea, but Sita was insistent. So Ram agreed, and Lakshman said, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. There is something wrong. This is a trick. And Sita said, oh, don't listen to him. Come on. It's just an animal. How can an animal be a trick? So even though Lakshman objected, but Ram was sort of, you could say, pressured to go and chase that deer. And so he followed the deer. And then the deer called out, imitating Ram's voice, called out, Lakshman, help, come here now. Come here right now. Lakshman had been left to guard Sita. And Ram told him, whatever happens, whatever happens, don't leave Sita for one second. So there's Lakshman. Now he's also in the mood of duty. So he was really determined, I'm going to guard Sita. But then this voice came. It was from Maricha, but it sounded like Ram's voice. The voice came, and Lakshman, they both heard it, and they both a little astonished. And Sita said, no, you must go. Ram needs you. Go immediately. And Lakshman said, no. He ordered me to stay and guard you. I am staying. And then again the voice came, and again. And Caesar was just insisting more and more. And Lakshman was just not going to move. Until finally she said, I know, now I understand. You want him to die so that then you can enjoy me. So what a sort of nasty thing to do, my Lord. To someone like Lakshman, who is practically like morality and dutifulness in person. So then he agreed, all right. And off he went. Now in the meantime, Ram had killed the deer, Maricha. And Maricha manifested his form as Maricha. For some reason, Lord Ram did not shout back, it's okay, don't worry about it. Anyway, we will not worry about why, but he didn't. But then, you know, a minute or two later, Lakshman appeared there, came running through the forest. What happened? What's wrong? And Ram said, why did you leave Sita? I ordered you not to. They raced back. But Ravan had already stolen Sita, kidnapped her, and taken her to Lanka. So now, the relationship between Sita and Ram, it's very deep relationship. They're husband and wife. But it's not just a matter of husband and wife. It's not just a matter of, you know, like a particularly happily married husband and wife. What do you think about William and Kate? Are they going to make it? Anyway, tune in after some years and we'll see. So, but Sita and Ram, that's what everyone thought about Diana and Charles. Perfect. Didn't work out. But Sita and Ram, they're not just like the perfect, compatible husband and wife. Sometimes young man, young lady, devotees. They're thinking of marrying. So they contact an astrologer and do a compatibility reading of their charts. And sometimes they find, oh, we are 80% compatible. That's wonderful. But the other way of putting that is, they're 20% incompatible. So, anyway, okay. So, but Sita and Ram, they were 108% compatible. Yeah. Or even 1,008%. They're just totally compatible. Talk about a marriage made in heaven. It was a marriage from the kingdom of God, the eternal spiritual world. So it's just another dimension altogether. But actually, they are eternal consorts. It's not just a matter of being a nice husband and wife, a good husband and wife. But they're actually eternal consorts. And Sita is actually the pleasure potency of Ram. As Radharani is the pleasure potency of Krishna, Sita is the pleasure potency of Ram. In other words, she is actually part of him, placed outside him, in order to increase the ecstasy placed outside him. But actually, she's part of him. So their relationship, the relationship between the Supreme Lord and his pure devotees, that's an amazing relationship. As Lord Chaitanya said, in the mood of Radharani, that when I'm separated from you, yugaitam nimeshena, then a split second, a fraction of a second, seems like 12 years or more when I'm separated from you. As you know, when things are going nicely, sometimes it seems that time is flying. And before you know, time's up. But when things are going badly, then, you know, it seems time just takes forever. It seems to slow down. So, this is the mood of Radharani. Actually, it is the mood of Sita. But when I'm separated from you, my Lord, then a fraction of a second seems like years. This is just giving a hint, a little idea of the depth of the relationship. So, when Sita was kidnapped, Lord Ram, of course, he is the omnipotent and omniscient Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he knows what is going on and is quite capable of correcting things completely at any stage. And there are no real challenges to him in that sense, how to deal with situations. But in the mood of the pastimes, just giving us some insight into the depth of the relationship and the richness, the sort of incomparable, incredible richness of their love for each other. So Lord Ram became angry and distressed that his wife was kidnapped, his beloved wife was kidnapped. He became so distressed. And in Ramayana, in the Valmiki Ramayana, there are, I think, 5 chapters which are simply the lamentation of Ram, his expressions of separation and how he is missing his beloved Sita. I thought we could, and in fact this is something I do quite often on round numbers, is read just a few verses, it's about 10 or so, from the Lamentation of Ram. It gives some insight into the depth of their relationship and his feelings, transcendental feelings. And it gives also some insight into how she, the pure devotee, means so much to the Lord, more than a million non-devotees put together. One pure devotee, a million, a billion non-devotees, even if they're very intelligent and extremely pleasant people, etc., but they're not devotees. You put them all together, their worth, their combined total worth, and what it means to the Lord, compared to the worth, what a pure devotee means to the Lord. And there's just no comparison, there's no beginning of comparison. And this is brought out in these verses in which Lord Ram is speaking and expressing his extreme mood of lamentation and separation from Sita. So just listen to this. This is Ram speaking. The austere Sita has been abducted, killed, or eaten. Her virtue did not protect her from being carried away into the wilderness. Since Sita has been devoured or abducted, Even the demigods cannot do anything worse to me, because I am mild-mannered, engaged in the welfare of the world, disciplined and compassionate. Surely the demigods think that I am unmanly. Just see how my attainment of these virtues has turned them into faults. But now, shunning all those virtues, my power will now manifest for the destruction of all living beings, including the Rakshasas. As the heat of the sun takes away the coolness of moonbeams, neither Yakshas, Gandharvas, goblins, Rakshasas, Kinnaras, or men will be able to find any happiness. Watch as I fill the sky with missiles and arrows, O Lakshman. Now I will prevent the movement of the living beings in all three worlds. I shall bring the three worlds to ruination by stopping the movement of the planets, veiling the moon, destroying fire and wind, blocking the light of the sun, smashing mountain peaks, drying up all sources of water, destroying trees, bushes, and vines, and emptying the oceans. If the demigods in charge of this world do not return Sita to me, in a short time they will see my prowess, O Lakshman. Because of the continuous network of arrows released from my bowstring, no creatures will be able to fly through the sky. See how my steel arrows destroy the world, creating confusion and breaking the bonds of propriety, with all the beasts and birds devastated or fled away, shooting with full force arrows that cannot be counteracted by any living beings. I shall rid the world of goblins and rakshasas on account of Sita. Today the demigods will see the strength of the arrows I shoot, impelled by anger, and which can strike at a great distance. When my anger flares up against the three worlds, there will no longer be any demigods, demons, goblins, or rakshasas. Torn to pieces by the flood of my arrows, the worlds of the demigods, demons, and yakshas, as well as of the rakshasas, will cease to exist. If the controlling demigods do not return Sita to me, regardless of whether she's been abducted or is dead, I shall this very day with my arrows dissolve all the boundaries of these worlds. If they do not return my beloved to me in her original condition, I shall destroy all the three worlds of moving and non-moving beings. After saying this, Ram's eyes became as red as copper, and he gripped his bow tightly. Then Ram, the conqueror of enemy strongholds, lifted his bow, took a ferocious blazing arrow like a poisonous snake, and fixed it on the bow. Manifesting anger like the universal fire at the end of the world, he said, "As much as none of the living entities are capable of warding off old age, death, time, or destiny, it is entirely impossible to counteract me when I am angry. If they do not immediately return my faultless Sita as she was previously, then I shall overturn this world with its demigods, Gandharvas, men, serpents, and mountains." So it's very deep relationship, extremely deep relationship between the Lord and his pure devotee. So then Lord Ram, again, as we said, it's a long story, he gathered an army, mainly of monkeys and bears, and then they went to the shore down there in southern India to cross to Lanka and attack Ram. And now what I'll do, I will read some verses here from Srimad Bhagavatam. Just, I think it's about five verses describing the attack of Lord Ram and his army on Lanka. And finally, Lord Ram killing Ravana. Hari Bol. Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki. After entering Lanka, the monkey soldiers led by chiefs like Sugriva, Neela and Hanuman occupied all the sporting houses, granaries, treasuries, palace doorways, city gates, assembly houses, palace frontages, and even the resting houses of the pigeons. When the city's crossroads, platforms, flags and golden water pots on its domes were all destroyed, the entire city of Lanka appeared like a river disturbed by a herd of elephants. When Ravana, the master of the Rakshasa means cannibal. Do you know any cannibal? Man eaters. Many, many people, of course, the majority eat meat, but if you offered them, would you like to eat some human flesh? I think even a staunch meat eater would be a little taken aback. But this is Ravan, Rakshas. So when he saw the disturbances created by the monkey soldiers, he called for Nikumba, Kumba, Dumraksha, Duramukha, Surantaka, Narantaka, and other Rakshasas, and also his son Indrajit. Thereafter he called for Prahasta, Atikaya, Vikampana, and finally Kumbhakarna. Then he induced all his followers to fight against the enemies. Lord Ramachandra, surrounded by Lakshman and monkey soldiers like Sugriva, Hanuman, Gandamada, Neela, Angada, Jambavan, and Panasa, attacked the soldiers of the Rakshasas, who were fully equipped with various invincible weapons like swords, lances, bows, prasas, rishtis, shakti arrows, Kadgas and Tomaras. Angada and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramachandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses and chariots of the enemy and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs and arrows. Thus, the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana's soldiers, who had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. Thereafter, when Ravana, the king of the Rakshasas, observed that his soldiers had been lost, he was extremely angry. Thus he mounted his airplane, which was decorated with flowers, and proceeded toward Lord Ramachandra, who sat on the effulgent chariot brought by Matali, the chariot driver of Indra. Then Ravana struck Lord Ramachandra with sharp arrows. Lord Ramachandra said to Ravana, "You are the most abominable of the man-eaters. Indeed, you are like their stool. You resemble a dog, For as a dog steals eatables from the kitchen in the absence of the householder, in my absence you kidnap my wife, Sita Devi. Therefore, as Yamaraj punishes sinful men, I shall also punish you. You are most abominable, sinful and shameless. Today, therefore, I, whose attempt never fails, shall punish you. After thus rebuking Ravana, Lord Ramachandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed at Ravana, and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, "Alas, alas, what has happened? What has happened?" As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets, when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki. Very nice. Very good. There, after all, the women whose husbands had fallen in the battle, headed by Mandodari, the wife of Ravana, came out of Lanka, continuously crying. They approached the dead bodies of Ravana and the other Rakshasas. So, let's just read two more verses. This is now Mandodari expressing her bereavement to the dead body of Ravana. "O greatly fortunate one, you came under the influence of lusty desires, and therefore you could not understand the influence of Mother Sita. Now, because of her curse, you've been reduced to the state, having been killed by Lord Ramachandra. O pleasure of the Rakshasa dynasty, because of you, the state of Lanka, and also we ourselves, now have no protector. By your deeds, you've made your body fit to be eaten by vultures, and your soul fit to go to hell." This is his wife, or main wife. So, what does she attribute his death to? He didn't understand the influence of Sita. Just as we read a few verses before, so many of his soldiers died because of the anger of Mother Sita. Mother Sita was very powerful. Not just in a physical sense, she was not one of these big muscly ladies, you know, bodybuilding, pumping iron, boxing, wrestling. Not a lady like that. She was a lady. She was feminine. She was gentle and highly, highly cultured. But she was extremely powerful. And just because of her anger, all those warriors died, and ultimately Ravana died. So, you know, there are many lessons we can learn from all of this. One is that, ladies, the real power of a woman is not just, you know, like how good she is at hen picking, or something like that, or that she needs to, you know, maybe learn to use a firearm or something like that. But her power is in her purity and chastity. And for that that matter, Srila Prabhupada said for everyone, for the devotees, purity is the force. Where's the Shakti? Purity is the force. The Shakti is in the purity. So, this is what happened to Ravana. Actually, the name Ravana means he who makes others cry. This is what Ravana means, translates to he who makes others cry. And that was his specialty. Just attacking people and abusing people just for his own sense gratification. And like we said, just stealing women and killing their husbands. And he was really just such a terrible person. But he was defeated by Mother Sita ultimately. It was because of Mother Sita's anger, because of her curses on him, that he died. So we should also know, we should stick at the lotus feet of the Lord and not become materialistic, but just stick at the lotus feet of the Lord. Take shelter of the Lord and try and please the Lord and serve the Lord and be devotees and become pure devotees of the Lord. If we can do that, then we'll see. The Lord will do anything for his pure devotee. Just as Lord Ram was willing to do anything for Sita, and just to rescue her, so many people died. Srila Prabhupada, there's a discussion of Srila Prabhupada's in which he describes how, because Lord Ram, like Krishna, is within the heart of every living entity, Krishna's there as Paramatma. And that means Ram is there also. That Paramatma is also a form of Ram. So Lord Ram, within the heart of Ravana, he could have easily switched off Ravana's heart. He's right there. Just lean across, switch. Good night, Ravana. End of story. And with his mystical powers, reach his arm out to Lanka, pluck Sita out from Lanka, and just bring her back like that in an instant. Everything's finished in an instant. For Lord Ram, it is practically the easiest thing possible to do these things, but he didn't. Rather, he chose to undergo great difficulty, and it took some time, and then there's this huge battle and people, millions of people just getting smashed to pieces, and it's all just to rescue Sita. That's all. Ram was not, you know, like a colonialist. Let me increase the Ayodhya Empire. Ram was not a colonialist like that. All he wanted was to rescue Sita. And he told Ravana the last night before the final day, he told Ravana, just give me Sita, that's all I want. You give me Sita, I'll bring all your soldiers back to life. I'll make them forget that any of this happened. I'll make them think we were always friends, and we will be friends. And you can rule in Lanka as you've been doing. You just carry on. And we'll be friends. Just give Sita back. That's all. Nothing else. Ravan refused. Ravan refused. And so the next day, as we just read, he paid with his life. So the thing is that all this great battle and all this whole big endeavor, it was there simply so the Lord could rescue Sita. There's actually no other reason. Because Sita, the great, great, pure devotee of the Lord, means so much to the Lord. For the pure devotee, for the Lord, in regard to the pure devotee, no price is too high, no endeavor is too great or difficult, no challenge is just too much. For the devotee, the Lord is willing to do anything, particularly for a great pure devotee like Sita Devi. So Lord Ram wanted to show that. He wanted to demonstrate that so people could see that this is actually what's going on. This whole thing is simply an expression of Ram's affection for Sita. So we should also try and be devotees and try to please the Lord, satisfy the Lord as Sita did. And then we'll get the Lord's mercy. And we'll get the Lord's full mercy, ultimately. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Everyone, put your hands in the air. Everyone, all your hands. Everyone, take a deep breath. Everyone say, after me, very loud. So now I think we're going to have Arati, am I right?